Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the glowing voice of your local announcer, Tom Fitzmaurice. Where's that coming from? As you and I get together and have some fun searching the most interesting food, the best for your health, and not the least, and also entering the system, looking around for the best food and the best tasting food and all the good stuff. And we are waiting for you to give us a dial. It is 260-6368. We have been lately doing programs with 8, 10, 15 people on the program telling us about all kinds of things. It's been very, very active around here, which I'm very, very happy about. Makes for a better show for you and for everybody else who is even vaguely listening to it. But we have one of those days again today like we used to have in the bad old days. I'm not trying to tell you that this is going to be a bad, dull, old day, but we could really benefit from a phone call from you telling me about what you've been eating lately, what's been great on your palate, things that have come to the system. You know, I'll give you one right off the top of my head, and it is all of this. Right now, the satsumas are coming in. And typically, the place I pick satsumas are, first of all, right outside in my front yard. I don't have very many of them. I don't know if I have 10 of them. But then I also get a bunch of them when I go to Manresa in November. And usually they're about gone by then. So that's kind of the range of it. So if you like satsumas, start buying them. It's okay. You can hold it out a little bit more. It's not quite totally in jive here with the how good it can become. Did you just tell me that somebody was there? Daniel Lilchuk is here. I couldn't be more pleased. Daniel, you there?
I'm here, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great. Nice hearing from you today.
Absolutely. So what have you been eating lately?
Well, today I had a dish that is so over the top that I'm almost ashamed of myself for eating it, but I'm not enough to actually be ashamed. The New Orleans food and something or other place, which has a number of locations around town, on Wednesdays and Thursdays they have this dish that starts off with some angel hair pasta with two different sauces, a white one and a red one. And then there's a panade chicken all in the middle of it, and that's what we get. And it is so good for a dish that is so inexpensive that I have to limit my eating of it to, you know, a reasonable pattern. We better tell them who you are before they start asking why would we be talking to this guy. He is the second chair cello in the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra. Are you still that before we go too far in this?
You haven't messed up yet.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. We're not up to the season yet, are we?
No, we are, actually.
No.
We are? Yeah, we had the opening night gala last week. And this week, Thursday, meaning tonight, Friday, Saturday, we have concerts of Beethoven's Emperor Concerto and Mahler Fifth Symphony, which is going to tear the paint off the walls. So
I don't know if that meets my standards.
Yeah. You prefer Kid Rock or Jennifer Lopez?
Who?
Yeah. But it's going to be a great show. I know you're partial to Vivaldi yourself, actually.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you make the fettuccine at home, or you just eat it out with the Alfredo?
Well, if you get really good Alfredo pasta, which to me is very, very thin pasta that holds a lot of sauce, all you really have to do is boil it to the point where you think it's a little bit overdone, but before, right at that second, take it out of there, drain it, and then toss it with the sauce, and away you go. It's pretty simple.
That sounds good to me, yeah.
Yeah. Give me some more up-to-date on what you've been up to lately, because I know you don't just sit around New Orleans waiting for, a better kind of a dish like I just told you.
I was doing a lot of traveling over the summer. I got to say, I had a great time in Hawaii. I was there for work, and Honolulu has a great food scene. I mean, really great.
Did you have those lunch boxes?
Yeah, I love those. The lunch boxes and the, I love all the sort of salt and brine and the ocean flavors, and I'm a sucker for the savory. Not to mention the fried, because all these places have these great tempura dishes that are really well fried, and the fresh seafood. I mean, it's a little similar to here in a way. There's a lot of fried food and there's a lot of seafood.
Yeah. And there's a lot of spiciness, too, and a lot of, this is almost going to sound stupid, but there is a Caribbean, well, it wouldn't be Caribbean, but it would be that part of the year anyway, kind of everything just becoming perfectly, the amount of ready-to-go-ness. I'm just looking for a word that actually means something.
Well, it's like that tropical connection.
Tropical. Yeah. That's exactly the word I was after. The one time, although I've done it twice, but twice in Hawaii, I found that is the biggest thing around there. And there was a pretty good-sized kind of semi-convention that they did of people who did spicy tropical food, and boy, what a trip that was.
Yeah, I remember when you went, I remember you telling me about that Hawaii trip, and they have a lot of Korean food as well. Mm-hmm. And you and I talked about once before how New Orleans is really missing a Korean food scene, because that's great food.
Yeah, we've had, over the years, we've had a few crepe restaurants. Excuse me. Did I say crepe? I can't believe I said that.
We have that too.
Do you? Anyway, where was I?
The Korean here.
We have had a few Korean restaurants in the general vicinity, but I think a lot of people have their mindset that this is all coming from Northern Korea, which is not something we want to talk about. But there's plenty more out there to charge and be charged by.
You know, I was going to ask you about that old, speaking of Korean, the old Genghis Khan, was it Henry Lee, or what was that guy's name?
Henry Lee, that was his name. He was, this will hit home for you, I know, he was the first chair of the violin for a long time. I don't know whether he was in recent times, but he passed away a few years ago anyway. I went to his funeral.
And what was his restaurant like? Was it Korean food? Or?
It was Korean food with a fairly good bit of general Far Eastern food. So you would get some things that would feel as being really Chinese.
Yeah.
Or you'd pick up something else that will come across that even sushi almost. He was an adventurer, Henry Lee was, and he also was very musical. They always had people who were regular customers of the restaurant, but they were also good musicians too. So he would have people in who were singing and playing, and it was terrific.
Yeah, you know, I heard some things about him, and I saw, it's funny, if you go on eBay and you put in New Orleans Philharmonic, you get, like, all these pictures of all these old players in the orchestra for sale on eBay. And there's one of him for sale for, like, $25 or something. You can buy a picture of Henry Lee playing the violin in his restaurant.
Oh, well, that's for real.
That's for real. How did he sound? Did he sound good on the fiddle?
Oh yeah, he was a pro. He on the side, there was a children. Well, not probably not children's, but younger people learning violin and other things in a couple of places. I know that Houston was one of them where he did that.
And
Training and what else you would call, you know, some guy trying to swing around a string instrument.
Yeah, that's right. So you think he was better than you are at the violin?
To put it mildly. Although I have my violin right at my side here. Wait, if you think I'm joking, wait a minute. Where the heck did it go? It was here a minute ago. Huh. Well, that shtick sure blew out easy. Well, there it is over there. It's on the other side of the room. You don't want to hear it, folks. Believe me.
Yeah, but I heard you play once, and you still had it in you.
you still have that sense of humor you have. my first and only violin teacher, I had this. It was a Chinese violin, and not the best built in the world, but not bad either. But they restringed it and handed it over to me, and he said, play that a little bit. And I hit a couple of notes, and he said, boy, is that raucous. Those were his exact words. Raucous. I knew it was not going to go very far.
That's funny. Mm. Well, you know, I'm speaking of going far, I'm wondering where all of these callers are, because they're usually lining up around the block. And
we've been very busy around here lately, but we have a little irregularity today. It's that Mary Ann, my wife, gets one of her favorite moments of the year, which she doesn't get nearly enough of, and that is we have two grandsons who live in Los Angeles. Well, this is not easily done from New Orleans. So they are over there visiting these two little guys, and so they leave, you know, hacks like me to keep things going.
I wonder if she's having any good food over there.
She doesn't, I don't know, she doesn't know probably, but believe me, she doesn't care that much, because the romance they have between my wife and those little kids, 5, 3 and a half, you know, not even that old, excuse me, what am I saying, 5, he's nowhere near that. But anyway, that's, it's an exciting time over there for them.
So what's, you know, I ran into an issue that I didn't know existed. So I was going to make a pasta with some friends, and I wanted to make, you know, fresh pasta, which is no problem. I can do that in my sleep. But I wanted to do it with shrimp. And I was told by a certain store here that I called, they're not in season. Now, someone else had told me shrimp here are in season all the time. Then I went to Rouse, and they were on ice, but they claimed they weren't frozen. So I'm confused here.
The deal is the shrimp season is really official, and it has more to do with the amount of shrimp that are coming up from the shrimp purveyors, the guys that are out there with their boats and bringing it in. There's only certain amount of shrimp that they can bring in. Not only that, they have to be during a certain time of year, and the state commission on that, they're very tough on it. They it's got to be followed. So there are indeed times a year when you can't get shrimp, but oftentimes you can, because there's X number of shrimp that are allowed to filter through for people who just, you know, are going out fishing tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Well,
then you'll get some. You know, that's
the shrimp I got at Rouse. This is the Rouse on Barone Street. We're good. They were really
great
good.
Great store. That's a great store.
It's too big. I always get lost in these stores.
Does that happen to you too?
Yeah. Yeah, I get lost. I get lost in the Whole Foods in Metairie. I get lost in the Rouse and Barone. I feel like I need to put on my GPS to just get me the hell out of there.
I'm with you. And no, really, I'm serious. And I think the one that gets me the most is the airport.
Oh,
if you've ever parked in the airport, there are a couple of spots where there's a level. I think it's number 3, and then right above it is another another three, and one of them is pink, and the other one's a lighter shade of pink.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've parked there a lot, and it's a mess. But that thing
my wife tells me there's a new airport now. I'm crazy for even talking about this, but I put you forth as an example of someone who is suffering over the same problem.
The same problem, and there's also there's a caller here. We've been informed.
The who?
It's the gourmet waiter, Tom.
The gourmet waiter.
So talk to him. It's Ron the gourmet waiter.
Oh, no kidding. It's Ron the gourmet waiter, who at one time was a waiter and at one time was a manager. And, you know, before I get moving on this, I'm telling you, Daniel, you're stuck here for at least an hour.
Okay.
Does that work for you?
Sure.
I'm now dedicating you as officially the guest host for today.
Well, are you leaving?
No, heck no. Are you kidding? This is my boat.
Okay, good.
I'll go down with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Like Captain Smith in the Titanic.
Well, yeah, any of those. But let's yank up Ron here and see what's up. Ron, you there?
Okay, how are y'all doing?
Well, we's pretty good.
How are y'all doing?
That too,
great.
Yeah.
Y'all were talking about shrimp, so I wanted to give you a hint on where I get my shrimp, and this is the only place I get my shrimp.
Yep.
It's, okay, if you don't have a membership to Restaurant Depot, you need to find somebody in the restaurant business that will give you one of their tags. Because when you sign up for Restaurant Depot, as I did, they gave me 3 tags. Mm-hmm. So one's for me, 2 I can give out, and Restaurant Depot doesn't care if you do it. Now, the shrimp that they have are these monster shrimp, and they sell them for like $5.50 a pound. Now, here's the deal. They've been frozen once, and when you buy them, they're frozen. So there's no hurry to use them. You can bring them home frozen and put them in your freezer, and then you'll be good for a couple of weeks. But when you want to use them, because they're shrimp, you just leave them out. They'll be ready in about an hour. But these are the biggest and the best shrimp I've ever seen for the money, and I buy them all the time.
I can feel your enthusiasm about it, but I have my own feeling about it, and you know, this is something one guy thinks one way, one guy thinks another. I don't like really big shrimp. I mean, there are a few dishes that you can do that. Like I think it works in like a bouillabaisse, where it's just this big thing right in the middle of all these smaller ingredients. That works for me. I can't say I like them, but it's even barbecue shrimp sometimes. I think barbecue shrimp would be better a little bit smaller.
But, yeah, I grill them. I stuff them with things like I'll butterfly this shrimp, and I'll stuff them with spinach and blue cheese.
I've heard worse ideas.
Just different things like that.
But Ron, here's my question. So what is a restaurant tag? You said to go to Restaurant Depot, I need a tag or something. What can you explain that? I have no clue what you're talking about.
It's like your ID to get in. Restaurant Depot is like Sam's Club and everything else, but obviously it's just a food warehouse for restaurants. And if you have something to do with a restaurant, you go over there and you show them like your certificate of occupancy or something. They'll give you 3 tags. And when you come in, you have to show that tag. In other words, it's not just open to the general public, like Sam's. You've got to be a member. Now, the thing about Restaurant Depot that's neat is it's free. There's no charge. I became a member about 9 years ago, and I haven't paid a penny in fees.
Oh, well, you can't beat that.
Can't beat that.
Yeah.
So it's a great thing. They have a lot of things over there. Now, I like Care Restaurant Supply, too. That's where I generally go to get all my hardware.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. There are a lot of people in the restaurant business that do that. Yeah.
Now, I've got a question is it Daniel the Gourmet Cellist?
That's it.
Daniel the Gourmet Cellist. Yeah.
Great. I was listening in this was probably 6 months ago, and you were talking about pasta.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you really know what you're doing. Have you ever seen a two-ingredient recipe for pasta that doesn't use any yeast? It's self-rising flour and Greek yogurt. Have you ever done that?
Self-rising yeast. Flour and Greek yogurt? I've never heard of that. And I've also, I'm also not familiar with yeast in pasta. It's not a dough that,
okay.
that generally
I'm
rises. Yeah, we're both puzzled.
It's a self-rising flour and Greek yogurt.
Wow.
And if you use about, I'd say the ratio is probably 1.3 yogurt, you know, to 3. So it's about a third. You just have to get your consistency right. But what you do is you take the flour, you put it in a bowl, and then you start putting the Greek yogurt in. And you're just going to kind of knead this and ball this up and get this to where it's looking like a big ball of flour. And in about 10 minutes, you're ready to go.
But why would you do this and not the classic recipe of egg and flour?
Because you're in a hurry.
One of those deals.
You're in a hurry.
Wow.
And it's just a different way to do it. Now, this is for pizza dough, okay?
Oh, pizza.
I apologize if I didn't make that clear up front, but I remember you were talking about, like, self-rising, flour and egg. And
yeah.
I had called you up, and you were telling me about a specific specific dough to get a softer crust, because that was my question when I called you a while back.
Oh, I remember
and you had,
that.
Was it white something? White lily?
No, it wasn't white lily. It was the Italian flour that's 00, right, Tom?
That was it. Correct.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to go looking for some zeros in just a moment. I have to take a break, folks. Don't move, okay?
Okay.
This is already we have a great show today, and I thank you for it. But don't go away, because plenty more great show. But first, please, this. Hello there. Welcome back. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. And here in the middle of things, boy, we are blessed with one of my favorite, if not, wait a minute, you're number one, if you ask me. Daniel Lelchuk.
The gourmet cellist, yeah.
The gourmet cellist.
Yeah.
And he's a real deal there, and it's breathtaking to watch you perform. How can anybody be quite that talented? It always takes my breath away.
Well, it's very nice of you.
I'm not joking. You know that because I've said it before.
You've said it, and you come to the concerts, and I see you afterwards, and you're a changed man because you love the music, and that is great.
I certainly do.
That's what we're all about.
Yeah. Anyway, we were talking
about dough before, pasta dough and pizza dough.
Yeah, I still am not quite... I can't calculate that out for some reasons.
Yeah, Ron, is Ron still around, or he's probably...
He might be.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, he's here. So what happened with that pizza dough? Because this is, like, we got to get to the bottom of this.
Or the top, either one. Do you know what we mean?
Hello?
Where'd he go?
He's gone.
Well, that's funny. That's probably some odd thing. He'll call back. 260-6368 is our telephone number. About that or anything else?
And Tom, there's another caller.
Alan.
Yeah.
Is it Alan? Did I hear that right? Alan, welcome to the Food Show.
Yes. Hi, Tom.
Hi there. Yeah, nice to hear from you today.
There's some sort of delay from when you say hi to I hear your voice. That may be the problem.
Just one of those things that comes out of the radio.
To keep me from saying anything wrong, correct?
Well, that's the worst case scenario, but there's other reasons for it, too.
Okay. First of all, it is the white shrimp season right now.
Yeah.
And I bought 5 pounds of white shrimp down in, West Wego market over the weekend, because I made shrimp fettuccine over the weekend. So it's definitely shrimp season, the white shrimp season right now. So,
good.
But that wasn't my original question, though.
But before you go on your original question, I'd like to tell people, if you've ever wondered, how can you tell the difference between white shrimp and brown shrimp, both of which grow in local waters and are, I would say, equally good. It's all a matter of taste.
Yes.
But there is one thing about the white shrimp that I like. It's just strictly a visual thing, and that is the white shrimp will have these almost absurdly long antennae, whereas the brown shrimp are not, they're still pretty long, but they're not quite as long as the white shrimp have. They're just enormous. They go on for, you know, three blocks or something like that.
I never noticed. I never paid that much attention.
This is what I do to kill time.
Okay. All right.
All right.
So, I was looking at nomenu.com today, and Dick and Jenny's is not quite up to date on your list. Do you have anything on them?
Dick and Jenny's?
Yes.
You know, I'm drawing a blank.
On Chapatoulas, right off in Napoleon.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't talked to them in a while. I don't know what the story is there, or if there even is a story. It's the nature of the business that it comes and goes and comes and goes. But I'll look into that.
I haven't, Alan. I've been there before, but this is the gourmet cellist here, but I haven't been there in a while. But it's a good place, and talk about shrimp.
Yeah,
yeah, they were famous for shrimp remoulade.
They were.
Well, I've got reservations myself and five other people to go there Friday night, so that's why I was looking it up. And to my surprise, I saw that Merlin Chauvin is the owner now.
Oh?
Wow.
That's according to...
Because it had been the guy who was the chef over at...
Martinique?
It might have been.
Yeah, because that's what you had on your webpage on No Menu was Martinique. So I knew that, you know, wasn't
that's it. But Martinique isn't even called Martinique anymore. So that's why that happened.
Okay. Yeah, and so I knew Merlin wasn't with Diane any longer at Latai.
Yeah, that's ancient history now. Yeah.
All right, right. But I didn't know where he was until I saw that. But mainly, I was curious as to know, you know, what to expect or what it was like. But obviously, not being like, you know, you not having been there, you wouldn't be familiar then.
Well, when you come down to the first restaurant you talked about, that has been a solid restaurant since they opened. So I wouldn't mind doing that one. What was the name of it again?
Dick and Jenny's.
Dick and Jenny's. Yeah, Dick and Jenny's.
Right.
Over on Chapatoulas. But they have
two
changed
blocks.
Hands. Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, I was just trying to get see if you had anything more current than that with Merlin being.
The last time I went there was about a month ago. A couple members of my wife's family, actually. We were all there having lunch, or dinner it was. And it was good, but they obviously have been reworking the menu, and it was a little shorter than I was used to seeing. But it is very short. Other than that, I wouldn't hesitate to go there. It's a cool-looking place. It's in one of those ancient bars that somebody held on to for a long time. And then they build around it. It's interesting.
Yeah, yeah, Tom. I'm looking at the website here for Dick and Jenny's, and it's a very short menu.
Yeah.
It looks good, but they have seven entrees, or maybe even six. That's it. The whole place. But they have Tom, listen to this. They have an Imperial Wagyu ribeye.
Wow. I wonder what that is.
Yeah. Yeah, it melts in your mouth. So
I have no idea.
A
Imperial,
Wagyu,
like what?
Yeah, fit for the Emperor of Japan, probably.
Oh, that stuff.
Yeah,
you know, all of those steaks that allege to, and I'm not saying about anybody in particular, but these Japanese usually steaks that are brought in from.
Kobe Wagyu, beef, you mean?
Kobe beef and Wagyu, it's all the same thing. And most of the time, it just does nothing for me. I mean, just, okay, it's a steak. It doesn't slam me that much. I have had a couple that really were different and really rich, but that's not something that tends to be the case in my experience anyway.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
good.
Well, I just wanted to check to see if there was any, you had any updated information. But obviously, if you had a, you enjoyed it when you went there a month ago, because as you'll see on the website, it seems like Merlin's been there for longer than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
As the owner.
I remember the night very well because we were just going around and around and around uptown looking for a place to go that was still open for the, you know, for dinner.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so that's the story about it. I'm glad you reminded me of all of that because we haven't mentioned anything about it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Tom. Appreciate it.
It's the food show.
All right.
Dan, I don't know if you caught this, but he just designated you as the check.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'll stick on, but, you know, that's...
Maybe he meant that he wanted me to pay for the dinner of his group.
You never know about those things. It's the food show. Is somebody on hold?
No, but they're saying we have to go to a break, actually.
A second break.
Already.
We are going to break for a second. I don't know if that's what it means, but we'll return. I can guarantee you of that. We'll have more of the food show in just a moment after first. Please, this. Mm-hmm. It's the food show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. It's wonderful to be with you talking about food whenever we can. Or talking about other things as we have, I think, shown that we are capable of doing. Things that don't add up to much. But then when you put it together a different way, like, for example, I was just heard something in that commercial you just heard. It had my voice on it, so I'm allowed to do this. Mascarpone grits. Now, that's something I've never heard of. Mascarpone is the kind of cream cheese kind of like that they have in Italy. That's basically it. Would you call it, Dan?
Yeah. Yeah, it has
that feeling.
It's maybe a little smoother than cream cheese even, but it's and maybe sweeter, but it's we love it in tiramisu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what you can make, let's say, a cheesecake with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be great. That's a great idea, actually.
Yeah. Well, good. I'll tell whoever it was who came up with it to, you know, go get it fixed up and let me know, and I can pick up the check.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I did one time, Tom?
No, but I'd sure like to know.
I made homemade ricotta cheese.
No kidding. That's doing something.
And it was easy, actually, because it's I bought the you know, those strainers, those sort of what are they, like cylinders, you know, with the kind of plastic with the holes, and and so we mixed up this was with a cello colleague back at school, and we bought animal rennet, and
now you were getting into it using that.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
a very unusual ingredient.
We had to special order it from Vermont, of all places.
Really?
And
who would have thought?
Yeah, from the New England Cheese Company. So we got the heavy cream, and I'm a sucker for full fat dairy. So the whole milk and the heaviest of creams, and we heated it slowly and followed the directions and a few drops. There were like two drops of animal rennet for like gallons of cream and milk. And it did the trick.
Yeah, rennet, in case you don't know, it's something that comes out of the slaughtering of a variety of animals. And what it does is it makes everything tighten up in a way. But it has other things in it, too, but it's not used a lot by the average cook.
Well, this was really good, I got to say. And it was so easy to do. Because sometimes, I mean, often you buy the ricotta cheese in the store and it's really bad. It has no flavor. You know, and this
you
was different.
When that happens.
Me too. This was different. This is brimming with flavor.
Well, you have been known for that. As much as you are a musician, you're certainly a gourmet. As we've observed.
Well, if the appetite is there, then and the curiosity is always there. The appetite is there, then oh my God! I mean,
that does make the difference,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Absolutely, because if you're satiated, then it's hard to think about what the next meal is going to be.
Well, for some people, it's unknown to begin with.
Well, that's true. That's a different issue, probably.
Yeah, let's hope so.
So what are you going to do? I guess while we're waiting, there were so many calls early in the show. While we're waiting for the next one, what are you going to do for dinner tonight? Any idea?
Oh, for dinner tonight?
Yeah.
Well, I had that enormous chicken and angel hair pasta with the two different sauces thing for lunch. It is likely that I will not have dinner tonight, although my wife keeps telling me, you got to eat more. I don't know why she keeps telling me that. It is usually, through most of my life, it has been a crusade against the weight I have and getting rid of some of it. But now I'm forced to tell all these people who just stop me on the sidewalk and they say, listen, you got to tell me how you lose so much weight. And I don't mind doing it, but man, it's only been 60 pounds that I've lost.
Well, and that's a lot.
It is?
I think so, yeah. But did you try to lose weight, or your appetite went down?
Well, that started at one point, and then a friend of mine, who's a doctor, who also went to Jesuit High School, that's his credentials, he said, is it getting better or is it getting worse? Either one of them is as bad as the other. You ought to take a look at it. And nothing was wrong, so I'm here I am walking around, still safely able to welcome you. Daniel I got to practice it before. Daniel Lilchuk. And he is becoming increasingly known on our program as the Chuck.
that would be easier than gourmet cellist, right?
I think you're probably right. And and on the other hand, it might bring your reputation down a little bit. But to just tell him where it came from.
Oh, yeah. It came from you. Yeah.
And we can just leave it alone, not knowing that. You know?
Yeah, well, it came from you, and it really rolls off the tongue. So sometimes I get a call on my cell phone, and I pick it up, and I just say, gourmet cellist.
Do you?
Sure.
I like it.
Yeah. And Tom, there's a Allie calling, so she must want to talk to you about no dinner.
A what?
Ali is calling.
Allie.
Oh, Allie, how are you?
Yeah, hi, Tom. I'm so excited to see you tomorrow.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear you say that, because I was walking around today with the feeling that it was tomorrow, but I had it in my head that it might be today.
But yeah, it's you tomorrow. And me tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Do you know where we're going?
We're going to Vion's.
Oh, okay, great.
Or Vion's.
Have you been there?
I have not.
Oh,
so
well,
you're going to introduce me.
You're going to have a very interesting evening, or afternoon, really.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell Dan something, because Dan, we have not been able to get together, but after Ron called and you were asking about shrimp, Marianne has been wanting us to get together forever, so I'm going to take you to Restaurant Depot with me, and that will be our first date.
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
That is awesome, because I was just saying to him, how the heck do I get into this place? He goes, get a tag. I'm going, what, do I stand on the street and hold a sign up saying I want a tag for Restaurant Depot?
Yes. So Marianne told me you're a big fan of French Truck. So
oh, yeah.
I am going to take you to coffee, because I love them as well. And I will take you on our first date. My husband will not mind, I am sure, to Restaurant Depot.
I
am inviting you.
You're on. You're on. Get my contact information from Marianne, and I will be available.
Tom, you and I go to lunch all the time, and my husband doesn't get mad. So there we go.
Boy.
I can't wait.
But I'm going to take you to see that shrimp, because Ron is correct. They have the best. Almost as good as, so it's comparison. The other guy called and said the Westwego Market. If you've not had the opportunity, Daniel, to get out there, it's a bit of a drive.
I've never been, yeah.
From where you live. It's fantastic, and they're the best prices in the city.
But where is it? Tom, do you know this place, the Westwego Market?
Oh, Tom knows.
Yeah, it's a laid out, kind of almost like a big parking lot, gravel parking lot.
Yep.
And they, what happens is that the guys that are fishing out there for shrimp and for everything else, you know, that the fishermen look for, and they bring it to that spot, and they sell it there at ridiculously low prices, absolutely
spectacular,
quiet. Just such great quality of what they bring in. This is straight out of the water, pretty much. So it is definitely the way to get shrimp.
Wow. And Dan, the other thing you can do there is you haggle. You can't haggle in Whole Foods.
No.
You know.
I'm good at haggling. I'm really good at haggling.
Oh, really?
You can haggle at the market from the fishermen because it's them. It's their outpost. You know, versus selling to the other guys.
So is this? What do I get there? Shrimp? Do I get other? Do I get fish there? Do
I
get
all things? Redfish, flounder, whatever's coming off the boat.
Oh my God. Wow. What do I have to go 5 in the morning over there?
Well, that would help, but you don't have to go that early. But when you get there, you know, just make your route right over into the middle of Westwego, and then just ask anybody where's the Westwego shrimp stand, and they'll tell you right over there.
Wow.
Well, Tom, I'll tell you about it. I got to go pick up the kids, but I'll see you tomorrow, Tom. And, Dan, it's a date, Coffee and Restaurant Depot.
You got it.
There you go.
Okay, bye, guys.
Thank you.
And Dan and everybody else listening right now, I want you to know that she has a nickname. Allie does and still does. Her special name is the Oyster Lady. And tomorrow you will learn why she is known as the Oyster Lady. She does something that is really remarkable, and if you don't get involved in this, you're missing something. But we'll do. But it's the food show. On 105.3 FM HD2, that's how you get to us. If you want to talk to me or to any of the other people we have here, we've got quite a crowd in here and a good bunch, too. Right on the front of my list, Daniel Lelchuk, who is the second chair. By the way, do you actually have a chair for that, or is it some other way to hold yourself up?
Yeah, we have a chair. In fact, we have special cello chairs.
The cello chair.
But not even that. We have different heights. Custom heights of cello chairs that are given to specific people.
Is yours a little higher than normal or lower?
Mine is a normal one, but we have a really tall, lanky cellist who's like 6'5 or 6'6. And he has...
Wow.
He has...
That's huge.
He's a giant, this guy, and he has a super high chair.
Does it get his notes up a little higher?
Well, I hope he doesn't play sharp. Because of that.
That's the first thing I thought of when you
maybe he should shrink a little. It would help his intonation.
Well, I hope he's your friend.
No, he's my friend. He's my friend. Yeah, of course. No, he's a wonderful musician. But he has a tall chair.
Okay, you can't hold it against him.
No. And I feel rather inadequate actually in my normal height cello chair.
After you have the report done on that, would you let me see it?
Yeah. Now talk about report. I was going to tell you about this pasta I made because I was visiting my folks up in New Hampshire over the summer for a little bit. And you know, it's great sort of it's seafood heaven there, different than here, but you know, it's clams and stuff like that. And oysters,
no,
a lot of oysters, too.
Yeah.
So I made a great clam pasta, and very simple, tons of parsley, a lot of olive oil, fresh clams. I did it with a linguine and a little butter, plenty of garlic, and some lemon. And this was one of the best pastas I ever had. The people were wowed, because they've all had clam pasta, but this, I don't know, something about it just made it really special. That was a great dish. Easy, too.
Oh, well, give us a little hint on it.
Yeah, so
if you have it at hand.
Sure. So I started off by just getting the pasta a huge, huge pot of water, because we all know that most people don't use enough water for their pasta or enough salt. So I got that going. Then right off the bat, I chopped garlic. I sauteed it very slowly in butter and olive oil, added parsley. Right when I put in the pasta, which would take about 8 minutes to cook, 9 minutes, I put in the clams because they cook so quickly, they open in like 3 to 5 minutes. More butter, more olive oil, big swig of a good white wine, and that was pretty much it. I took the pasta straight out of the water with tongs and you know, let the water run off of it, but I didn't really drain it completely, and I put it right into the huge saute pan where I had the garlic and the clams and all that, and I tossed it like crazy, and then finished it with more butter and more parsley and a little lemon. It was simple and easy, and the people I made it for were just wowed.
You got me. And in fact, there's one aspect of this that I'm intrigued by. You are using these clams, and clams are notorious in not having a whole lot of meat in them, although I'm sure that there are times of year when that is better off than it is in other ones. How'd you find them? We don't get them down here hardly at all.
You know what? You caught me.
I did?
Yeah, because here's what I did. So I bought probably, I don't know, 20, maybe 25 clams or something like that. Mm-hmm. Not a ton of meat, though. Then they had freshly chopped clam sitting in a container that the market I went to up in New Hampshire had prepared. So I supplemented all those clams with clam meat. So the sauce was really clammy, actually, in the best sense.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
So yeah, I agree with you that there wouldn't have been enough. It was just the clams coming out of the shell. But I'd say I probably had maybe a quarter of a pint. You know, one of those small round plastic containers you get at the supermarket for prepared foods.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say probably one of those fill up with the fresh raw clam out of the shell, just in their juices, and that was perfect as an entree. There's plenty of meat.
Oh, you've been luckier than I have been, but then again, I live here, and again, I tell you, it's really tough to find any kinds of clams around here, even bad ones. There's just not a lot of meat in there, although I could be made to get into it, particularly, we've done some cruises out to New England and then into Quebec and that whole region there where they are. That's their job, you know. They're bringing in all these shellfish, all every kind of them, and there's even a song whose lyrics I'm probably not going to be able to remember, and you'll be very happy about that. That is talking about how to make roasted clams for something, and among a lot of people, it is very well liked, but not here because it's just not a local thing. Yeah. It's time to take a break for some news, is it? Yeah, it is. And that doesn't get rid of Daniel Lelchuk, who we're very happy to have with us today. Can you stay a little longer?
I can stay a little longer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.